call the meeting, then, you said?
No, yes. let Jay let all 11 people in, which only is, it's going to happen within seconds. And now everybody is in.
All righty, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Knock on my dining room table.
You got it.
It's a public hearing. Somebody, John, can you mute yourself? John? There you go, thanks. Call the public meeting to order. This is a public meeting on the proposed 2020 budget, Ulster County budget. And I entertain everybody to stand for the pledge. And if you don't mind, we'll have Jonathan Heppner lead us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisibly, with liberty and justice
for all.
Be seated. Alrighty, we're ready for public comment. Understand?
I'm gonna quick call roll first.
Yep, go ahead.
Archer?
Here.
Bartels?
Here.
Bruno?
Here.
Cahill?
Here.
Corcoran?
Here.
Criswell?
Here.
DeLon?
Here.
Donaldson?
Here.
Fabiano? Gavaris?
Present.
Green?
Here.
Haynes?
Here.
Heppner?
Here.
Litz?
Here.
Lopez?
Here.
Mayo?
Here.
Parity?
He's here.
Petit?
Here.
Roberts? Ronk?
Present.
Uchitel?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
And Woro?
Here.
21 present and 2 absent. Tonight's public hearing, as the chairman mentioned, is our second public hearing on the proposed 2021 Ulster County budget and the proposed 2021 through 2026 capital program. So callers, you will have to *6 to unmute yourself. Our deputy clerk will remind you of that regularly, and she's gonna call you one by one. And in addition, you may get additional direction from the chairman at the end of 2 minutes.
Yes, I mean, if you need to go over it slightly, that's okay, but please, this public hearing is on the budget and the capital program. So anybody that's wishing to speak, let them in. However you're going to do it, Jay, let's start. Thank you.
We're going to start with Andrew, who joined us yesterday. Are you interested in speaking again tonight, sir?
Yes, last night I was wrangling the kids, so.
Right, brilliant. Nice. Thank you.
So, am I good to go?
You are.
Go ahead. Go for it.
So my name is Andrew Ciafatelli. That's the right way to pronounce it for the future. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Turk Hospitality. And I thank you guys for letting me come on tonight to discuss the budget. And I wanted to start off by commending and thanking the executive and his team for their expedient response to the coronavirus on a county level while communicating and working to get and keep our businesses open. Regarding the 2021 Ulster County budget, I wanted to focus on tourism department, which has a proposed reduction of $100,000. This reduction seems to be coming a little bit of a trend. The summary leaves me apprehensive since it states that the county may have to make more cuts since its major source of revenue is the $76,000 that it gets from the state. This is somewhat disingenuous. $1 million spent on $652 million is, you know, which is an economic staple in our county. The amount of revenue brought into this county from tourism is really imperceptible from the lens of this budget. In its analysis of our county budget, the Capital Market Advisors LLC said, and I'm somewhat paraphrasing here, in order to operate and provide adequate services, the county requires secure, predictable revenue sources, which will grow on an annual basis to keep pace with expenditures. If revenues become stagnant and expenditure growth cannot be offset, the fiscal condition of the county will deteriorate. According to the state's numbers, Ulster County tourism spending has increased, people spending money here has increased 27% over the last 6 years, or a steady 4.5% annual growth rate. This has resulted in a 39% increase in tax revenues for the county from 2012 to 2019. It doesn't even account for ancillary growth. We are the predictable revenue source, which will grow, that the advisors are speaking about. If the county continues to diminish its investment in tourism, the result will ultimately be diminished revenues for the county and for its residents. I would implore the county to rethink this cost savings tactic. Until the pandemic started in 2020, hospitality and tourism has been a reliable and dependable economic driver in our county for more than 100 years. Don't stop investing in us now. And just one more quick point, Capital Market Advisors suggested that the county should look into doubling the occupancy tax. Their comparison with other counties' occupancy tax is an incomplete picture of what's really going on. Ulster County is ripe with all-inclusives who, under the current law, charge visitors 2% on 40% of their entire stay. Based on the intent of the law, our visitors at Rockin' Horse are currently paying approximately 8% occupancy on the room portion of their stay, not 2%. And if the county approved the doubling of the tax, well, that means 16% occupancy tax for those visitors. This puts us at a major disadvantage compared to our competitors. It's time for the legislator to earnestly work with the all-inclusives to amend the outdated law. Our competition in the Poconos is taking our market share and they're thriving. A driving contributor to their success is they are championed by their state and local governments who foster and promote hospitality and tourism. And I thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Andrew.
Next, if Mr. Tom Smiley would like to offer public comment tonight.
Nothing tonight, but I understand there's a meeting again on Thursday and I plan to share some stuff then.
Thank you, Tom.
Very much. Would Ms. Joan Crawford like to offer public comment this evening?
I would. Thank you so much for your time. Again, my name is Joan Crawford, and I'm the Chief Program Officer for Family Services. And I really appreciate having the opportunity to express my grave concerns related to the proposed drastic cuts to our family education program in Ulster County. The current budget is for 2020. $544,000. The 2021 proposal is half of that, $272,000. This represents an excruciating reduction in services to families and children served by this program. And we're hoping that under the leadership of the legislature, that you will restore the proposed cut of $272,000 so we can continue with the services that even at the 2020 level does not come close to reaching all of the families who really need this. And I'd like to just take a couple of minutes to talk about the program itself. Since 2005, Family Services has been providing family education services through a contract with the Department of Social Services. And this program serves families where there has been abuse or neglect. Yet the Department of Social Services and family court recognize that working intensely with the family and helping them gain skills will avoid the need to remove children from the home. As we know, there are times where there are extreme circumstances that require out-of-home placement for the safety of children. But there are so many cases where this can be avoided by careful parent education, case management, and support, so that the family can remain whole and healthy and safe. And our program does just that. Again and again, we find that parents we work with do not want to do harm to their children. They just have not had the benefit of good parenting themselves. They just don't know how to best love and nurture their kids. Our family educators use carefully developed evidence-based curricula to help these families succeed in developing their parenting skills that the children need. And we also provide case management to help parents contend with various life stressors. Out-of-home placement for children in and of itself can be devastating to a child, introducing even further trauma that can lead to behavioral, mental health, and other problems that last into adulthood. In addition to the human toll, the cost to the taxpayer will most often far exceed the costs associated with preventive services as those provided by our family education.
Could you please wrap it up if you don't mind?
Certainly. So in this pandemic, we know that families are experiencing even greater stressors, economic stressors, all kinds of fears. Children who are home a lot, maybe not in school, often we're the only eyes on these children. So again, I just ask that you would consider restoring the proposed cuts to the Family Education Program of Family Services. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a caller from 914-388-1104. Would you like to give us your name and offer public comment tonight by hitting *6? There you go.
Yes, please. Thank you. This is Shelley Turk. I'm an owner at Rocking Horse Ranch. I did send in comment this morning with respect to CMA's report suggesting an increase in the occupancy tax. I'd like to publicly address the context of that letter. It is beyond frustrating to understand the continual need to defend not only my livelihood, but a business and industry that assists in funding Ulster County. On many occasions, numerous occasions, the Ulster County Lodging Coalition and individual hospitality venues have identified relevant data. We've given concrete analysis. We have supplied valid numbers to support why and how an increase in the occupancy tax could damage tourism and hurt guest reservations. I do refuse to believe that all the time, the work, the energy that was devoted to presenting these facts in support of our position has fallen on deaf ears or been ignored. Then enter a worldwide pandemic and we are now just barely surviving. Even suggesting a tax increase on our business sector so decimated by this new landscape is truly unconscionable. I have to ask, why would our local government promote the destruction of its third largest revenue producer? But I am truly hoping, I'm optimistic that we can turn to and count on our local legislators for support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next. And we have next CJ Hartwell Kelly. Would you like to offer public comment?
Hi, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I'm CJ Hartwell Kelly. I'm the chair of the Ulster County Lodging Coalition, and I'm the assistant general manager at Rocking Horse Ranch. I am speaking to you today on behalf of the Lodging Coalition and would like to address the recent findings related to the hospitality spending and subsequent tax revenue. The 135-page report prepared by Capital Market Advisors stated that an increase in the hotel-motel occupancy tax to 4 to 5% would double the occupancy tax revenue to Ulster County. Myself and my fellow coalition members disagree. The county is reporting a decline of 30% through the third quarter in occupancy tax collection. Instead of generating more revenue for the county, this suggested action is actually a way to fill a budget shortfall directly related to the decimation of our industry due to COVID-19. Your occupancy revenues are down because government mandated closures forced our member properties to shutter their doors, some of them forever. Of course, this would cause a decline in your revenue streams. Instead of reinvesting in marketing the third largest industry in the county, it is proposed to overtax a hemorrhaging yet integral piece of the county's economic stability. Instead of support, we are faced with a $100,000 cut in the county's tourism department budget, the closure of the county's visitor center, and the cancellation of the county travel guide. Just today, our coalition became aware of the 2020 proposed Local Law 16, which essentially deletes the tourism department from the county charter. And now you propose more than doubling the occupancy tax. Way to kick us while we're down. I have submitted for public record a detailed letter stating just a few of the many reasons why an occupancy tax increase is a bad idea in general. In fact, this is the second time this calendar year, I am before this body sharing these facts. The main difference tonight is that the last time we were here, it was February, and COVID-19 was just arriving. We are nowhere near the end of this. The coronavirus has changed the landscape of our industry in 9 surreal months. Please do not continue to challenge us by making poor policy decisions for a short-sighted and short-lived gain. I can assure you that if you raise the occupancy tax and go through with these cuts to tourism marketing, the county's occupancy tax revenues will continue to drop, regardless of what the tax percentage is. Thank you for your consideration and your time.
Thank you.
Next, would Clark Richters like to offer public comment?
All righty, where are you, Clark?
Okay, well, then we can move on to Samantha Turk. Would you like to offer public comment this evening?
I'll waive my turn this evening.
Okie
dokie. Then we have someone joining us named Robert. Robert, would you like to offer public comment this evening?
Robert, we do. Unmute yourself.
Okie dokie. We have a caller joining us from 917-733-6333.
It's me again. Lou.
Hello.
Can anyone hear me?
We can hear you. Identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Robert Pollock from Buttermilk Falls Inn.
Go ahead, Robert.
I join with the Turk family with what they're saying also. And it's really it's unfair for all hospitalities to do this. For hospitalities, but to put in another burden on us. Okay, so I agree with CJ and Steve and Shelly and Samantha, Andrew, and we're all together on this. Can anyone hear this?
Yep.
We are.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, and then by my record, Mr. Chairman, I have a caller from 845-481-0032, and that should be your last caller.
All righty, unmute yourself and identify.
Caller from 845-481-0032, if you'd like to unmute and offer public comment by hitting *6.
This is Clark Richters. I feel like I cut off on my last transmission here. I was calling to support keeping funding for the Kingston Library because they utilize, it's an online educational tutoring program or classes. And I think that's really great, especially now in the way where we're doing things. We're doing almost everything electronically. And so the library has computers but they also provide internet access. So that's the most important thing. So you can actually go over by the library and get internet access in. And I think the budget should really include public access in the future. Maybe we could talk about that later, but all right, thank you.
Thank you, Clark.
Madam Chair, or Madam Clerk and Chairman Donaldson, I have no one else unless Ms. Doxey would like to offer public comment.
Does anyone else wish to offer public comment? If not, I want to make sure that also everybody understands there has not been, other than what the budget analysts gave us, there's been no real discussions on increasing any taxes at this point. They may be taken up at another point, but there has been none whatsoever other than that came from the budget analyst. Also, we have our next public hearing is Thursday at 6 o'clock. And right now, before we adjourn this public hearing, we have a Finance Ways and Means Committee that will re-adjourn after we finish here. So if anybody wishes to come on that and join that, please do. It is, that's right after this one. So anyway, we're gonna, if I got to entertain a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
All righty, seconded by?
I'll second.
Okay, seconded, and all those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
And Lynn, everybody that wants to go to Ways and Means, they have to go back to the original number that we used for Ways and Means, okay? Thank you. Bye.